You're listening to Amud Chazar with Daniel Eisenberg, Maseches Shabbos, Daf Memtes Amud Beis. We're going to start at the bottom of Memtes Amud Aleph, starting from the Gemara of the second Mishnah here. All right, so let's just, I guess, briefly mention what's in the Mishnah. So we said that we're talking about Hatmana, and if you, you're Tomnin with animal hides. So we said in the Mishnah that you're allowed to be metaltel them, you're allowed to move them around. Gizei tzemer, we're not allowed to, and then it gets. We're gonna actually discuss this part of the Mishnah later on, also at the bottom of the next Amud. So we'll just go through it. Tomnim b'shalachin metaltenosan begizei tzemer ve'ein metaltenosan. Right. So the gizei tzemer, you're allowed to do atmana, but you can't move them. They are considered muktzos. So what's he supposed to do? So no telesakisui vehe no flos. He's supposed to take the cover off the pot, which Rashi says is not a basis, and vehe no flos, and then they'll like fall off the pot, and then Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Omer kofa mata al tzida venotel. You're going to turn over lean the pot over on its side, and then take from there shema yitol ve'eno yachol achzir, because maybe what's going to happen is that all of the coverings from the side are going to fall off, and then you're not going to be able to put it back in. You're no longer going to be able to insulate, to re-insulate it. Avachamam no telam achzir. They say you could take it out and return it. That's not a problem. Okay. So now let's take a look at the Gemara. The Gemara says, Yosef Rabbi Yochanan ben Achinoi v'Rabbi Yonasan ben Elazar v'Yosef Rabbi Chanina bar Chama gabayu, and Rabbi Chanina bar Chama was sitting with them. V'kam mabayluhu, and he asked them, shalachin shal bala bayis. He's going to ask the following chakira. So is it the following? Is it shalachin shal bala bayis tanan aval shel uman came into kapitalahu lo metaltelin luhu? Is it that we're saying that when we mentioned the hides, that you're allowed to not only be tomenin, but even metaltin in them, that this is, we're talking about the hides of a balabayas, who doesn't really care, says Rashi, demutr letaltin she'en omdin limkar, he's not planning on selling them, this is just when it's in his house, v'lo kapit alayhu, and he's not makbid on them, ki metanfe v'chazi lemizga alayhu, because he's not concerned that they might get dirty, and therefore they're fitting to sit on them. So these are usable, and therefore that's what we're talking about. However, if it was talking about the hides of an uman, of a craftsman who works with these things professionally, so then maybe then it would be a problem, and it would be considered muksa. Is that what we're saying? Odilma, or perhaps the Mishnah Shel Umantnan is talking about hides of an Uman. V'kol shekein shel bala bayis, and all the more so of bala bayis. Right? We just had this recently, the previous daf, where we were wondering, is the Mishnah talking about the gefes of sesame seeds, and we learn a kal v'chomer to oil, or is it talking about oil and then not the kal? So similar question to ask on the Mishnah. Amar the Rabbi Yonasan Ben Elazar, Rabbi Elazar says, "Mistavr shabal bayis tanan." It makes sense that we're talking about that this mission is that of a bala bayis. Aval shel uman kapit alayhu. But if it was an uman, since he's makbid on not getting these things dirty, they would be considered muksa. He says that's what sounds logical to him. Amar lehu Rabbi Chanina bar Chama. Rabbi Chanina bar Chama said, "Kach Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yosi." This is what Rishon bar Rabbi Yossi says. Abba shalcha hava. Abba, father, was a shalcha. He was a, right, Rashi says, uman la'abed oros. He was a tanner. And v'amar, and he would say, heviu shalachin v'neshev alehen, bring hides, and we're going to sit on them. And Rashi just clarifies, but Amar Bechol, he said during the week, meaning Stam, it wasn't paskening a Hilchos Shabbos, Hilchos Muksa Shaila, but in general, he was a tanner, he was an uman, he was a professional, and he demonstrated that he didn't mind people sitting on hides. So that should indicate that this Mishnah could even be talking about the hides of a tanner, or of an uman, not just a Baal Bayis, and it would still be Mutter. Okay. So let's try to delve into that and see if we can come to a conclusion regarding the materials of a professional, of a craftsman. So Meisve, so we were going to challenge this from a Mishnah, Bryce, I'm not sure. Nisarim shall balabayis metalton osan, v'shel uman ein metalton osan. If you have boards of a balabayis, so those you're allowed to move them. Of an uman, of a craftsman, those you are not allowed to move them. The reason you wouldn't be allowed to move them is that the same thing let's continue. Vimchishev l'seisalehin pas la'orchin. But if he had intended, he had thought about putting on these boards bread for the guests. Bein kach or bein kach metaltalin. Whether it's of a Baal Bayis or an Uman, it doesn't matter, you're allowed to move them. Which is revealing that someone can designate something that would generally be Mukta. They could designate it for a Mutter purpose, and that would be fine. So doesn't this demonstrate that an Uman is, the supplies, the property of an Uman, is treated more stringently regarding Hilchos Mukta than that of a Baal Bayis? Right, our Mishnah, we wanted to say that, right, we're trying to figure out, is our Mishnah talk when it comes to the hides, is it talking about an Uman or a Baal Bayis? So over here we have a demonstration when it comes to boards and the Uman, where we say it becomes Muktzah unless he specifically designated it. So the Gemara responds, Shani Nisarim Dekapit Alayhu. No, boards are different because he's Makbid on that. Right, Shema Yiskalkalu, says Rashi. There's much more of a concern that the boards are going to get ruined, and that there's more reason for an Uman to be makbid on his, like a carpenter, for example, would be makbid on his boards more so than a tanner would be for his hides. So that is not, so that doesn't really, challenge the more lenient opinion of our Mishnah, more lenient version, understanding. Tashma, so try here another proof. Oros ben avudin u ben she'en avudin. Mutter l'tatlan b'Shabbos. So this Mishnah says that Brisa says that if you have hides, whether they are tanned or whether they are not tanned, it is mutter to move them on Shabbos. Just a clarification of the tanning process is just something that makes it that makes the hides usable and makes it last. So it's going to be one of the 39 malachos, which we'll reference in a few lines from here. But the being avudin, right, which it means like the malacha is the ma'abed, the one who makes them tanned. This is one second. Just want to see Rashi over here. Yeah. Okay. So we'll see it in a moment. But it makes it more of a functional kli. So whether they're tanned or not, they're not mukta. You're allowed to move them on Shabbos. And then it says lo amru avudin ela le'inyan tuma bilvad. And the reason we mentioned the chiluk of avudin and not avudin, of whether it's tanned or not, is regarding hilchos tuma. This, as Rashi says, davudin mekablin tuma v'lo she'inamu avudin, because if they are tanned, then they're mekabel tuma. Then they have toras kli aleihem, and they're mekabel tuma. But if they are untanned, then they are considered a raw material that is not mekabel tuma. So now, based on this Mishnah, we want to suggest the following. My love, isn't it suggesting the following? Loshna shel baal bayis v'loshna shel uman. Isn't that what's going on here? That we're saying that it doesn't make a difference if it's that of the Baal Bayis or that of an Uman, it's Muksa. It sounds like we're not being Machalik. Excuse me. Right? So it looks like we're not Machalik. So the Gemara says, no, lo, Shabal Bayis. No, it could be that we're talking about just a Baal Bayis. But when it comes to that of an Uman, we'd be Machmir. But then the Gemara says, So then what are you trying to suggest about that of the hides of an Uman? Ein metaltlin, you're going to tell me that right, the halacha would say, you're saying that this over here, this Mishnah says, whether it's avudin or not avudin, whether the hides are tanned or not tanned, you're allowed to move them on Shabbos. You're going to tell me we're only talking about the hides of a Baal Bayis, mashma, that the hides of an uman are you're not allowed, are mukza, you're not allowed to mukzars. But ihachi, if so, hadatani v'lo amravudin el inyan tuma bilvad, we said explicitly in this brisa that the we made this chiluk of avudin not avudin only for the distinction was only important regarding halachos hilchos tuma. So liflog v'lisni bedida. So, but why don't we make a chiluk within itself? We saw a similar logic a few blad ago. I forgot what exactly it was. I'll probably remember it immediately after this year. We're saying the Braisa already made an effort to make a chiluk, and it goes into like a chiluk regarding tuma and tahara. That has nothing to do with hilchos Shabbos, hilchos muktza. But if there's a chiluk to be made, if the Braisa wanted to make a chiluk, it should have made a chiluk between the Baal Bayis and the Uman. Right? It could have said the following. It said, right, so liflug listen to bidida, so let it be machalik and teach within itself, its own topic. There's a chiluk within muksa. You don't have to reach out to tuma, right? You're like, they had, like, we have to bring a chiluk somewhere, so let's bring a chiluk of that's leaning tuma. So, but you could have bididda from its own case of hilchos muksa. You could have had a chiluk and say the following: b'medvar mamurim b'shel baal bayis ava b'shel uman lo. So it could have said that. It could, right, and it could have made that chiluk. So the Gemara says, no. So kula baal bayis kamayri. No, but the way we're understanding this is that the entire Mishnah is talking about baal bayis. So once we're speaking about the hides of a baal bayis, there's no reason to make a chiluk. There is no chiluk. It's only if you would step out and talk about hides, you know, bechlal in bagadol, talking about hides in general, then you'd make a chiluk. But the whole starting point of this brisa was speaking about the baal bayis, hides of a baal bayis, and that's why we're machalik between avudin and not avudin, only regarding tuma, but not but there's no reason to be machalik between a baal bayis and uman, meaning. That's probably a little confusing. Meaning, the starting point of this brisa is talking about hides of a baal bayis. So there's no reason to be mechalek and say, ah, oh, but a baal bayis and uman, we're talking about the hides of a baal bayis. That's what we're talking about. And then within there, there's no real chiluk. There's only a chiluk if it regarding hilchos tuma, right, between tanned hides of a baal bayis and untanned hides of a baal bayis. So there, if you want to find a chiluk between that, there's the only chiluk to be found is regarding tuma. However, within the hides of a baal bayis, there's no chiluk to be made. However, when if you're talking about the hides of an uman, then we're going to be machmir and say that they are muksa. So that's what we're suggesting. That's an possible understanding. So now we're still really left without a resolution, meaning just we kept all our options open, and now we're not really sure. So then the Gemara concludes with this we'll call it a concession. Kitanai. So it's actually a machlokes tenayim. O rosho balabayis metaltel no son vishal uman ein metaltel no son. So the Tanakhama in this price over here says that the hides of a baal bayis are not mukta. You're allowed to move them, and of an uman you are not allowed to. And Rabbi Yossi Omer echad zeh metaltel nosan. He says either way you're allowed to be metaltel them. So indeed, there are Amorayim discussing this, and then it looks like it's machlokas tanayim. I guess we'll note that it was Rabbi Yishmael bar Rabbi Yossi who spoke about Rav Yossi being a, right? It was Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yossi who said, father was a tanner, right? Abba shalchahava. So if this is the same Rabbi Yossi, and he was a tanner, that could speak volumes. I cannot confirm that this Rabbi Yossi is Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yossi. It could be it is, but I think that would be, that would add significant weight to his opinion. Okay. So let's move on. A different topic only mentioned, it says, Hadr Yasvi, they returned and sat again, Vikamabailuhu, and asked the following question to them. So this Rashi just clarifies, Hadr Yasvi, Hanach Rabbanan Dela'el. So those are Rabbanan that we mentioned on the bottom of the previous Amud, Rabbi Yonasan ben Lazar, and Rabbi Yonasan ben Achinai, and Rabbi Chanina Bar Chama. So the same Chevra asked the following Shaila, but it's otherwise unrelated. I mean, it is Hilchos Shabbos, but it's unrelated. The Kambayi Lahu, and he asked the following question to them: Hoditznan avos melachos arba'im chaser achas kenegin mi? This that we learned in the Mishnah, that there it's a Mishnah later on, Kol Gadol, where there's going to be a Mishnah. I believe it's the seventh parak, Ayin Gimel, where we're going to learn about the Mishnah is going to list the 39 malachos. So it says as the Mishnah refers to them, the 40 minus one, the 40 malachos minus one. Maybe we'll get into. I think we'll save a lot of this discussion for when we actually get into Ayin Gimel of this interesting phraseology of why don't we call it 39? We call it 40 minus one, which is interesting. There's a lot of very interesting explanations and interpretations of all Hilchos Shabbos that are based on that. It's very, very, very fascinating. But that's not the subject here. Over here, we want to know what are they keneged? Keneged me? Where do we get these 39 malachos? So the Gemara says, Amar lahu, Rabbi Chanina bar Chama, keneged avodos hamishkan. So Rabbi Chanina bar Chama said to them, it's connected the avodos of the Mishkan, the different things that were done in the Mishkan. Osan amanuyos sham beperek klal gadol hayut srichan, says Rashi, those that were counted in perek klal gadol hayut srichan the Mishkan, they were needed in the Mishkan. But parshas Shabbos nismachal parshas malachas haMishkan lilmad hemena, and in parshas Vayakel it juxtaposes Shabbos and Mishkan to tell us that which was done for the construction of Mishkan is what is forbidden to do on Shabbos. And therefore, the 39, where do you get those 39? Well, those are the 39 things that were done, the avodos of the Mishkan. Amar Rabbi Yonasan ben Rabbi Lazar, Kachem Rabbi Shimon ben Rabbi Yossi ben Likonia. He says, this is what I heard. Keneged malacha malachto maleches shebatorah arbaim chaser achas. It's keneged the times that the Torah says malacha, malachto, umaleches, and if you count them up, there's going to be 39 times that it says that lashon, and that's what this is keneged. And says this is something that the Rishonim spill a lot of ink on, because it check your Bar Ilan or whatever else search, and that's actually not what's going to come up with the 39. So they have we're going to see in the Gemara there's a question also about certain terms that are used. Maybe we'll move further in the book Gemara, and then we'll go back to this discussion. But let's pretend I didn't say that. Let's assume for right now, sure. 39. Anytime it says lashon of malacha in the Torah, let's assume that there's a total of 39. Now, anyway, this is like an interesting discussion of what are the 39 keneged? Is it the things that are Mishkan, or the 39 times it says malacha, because it doesn't really tell us what the malachos are, right? So it would seem to be that this is it's a remez more than anything else, because it doesn't tell you what they are. I guess this opinion could hold that it's a Mesorah. We're going to see later on in the Gemara, there's going to be a discussion about this more in depth. Not in our Amud, about the 39 Malachos. The Gemara is going to have another Remez, maybe you're familiar with. It's Eila HaDvarim. So there's, right, like, Eila is Gematria 36, and Dvarim implies two things, and HaDvarim adds an extra one, so it's 36 plus 3, that's one Remez there, and that's going to be the 39 times. That on its own, Farshim discussed and the Rishonim, what's going on here? Is it really just an asmachta? Is it like a remez? But you know, we have it through Masorah and we have it through the juxtaposition. There's a very cool Baal Turim at the beginning of Parshas Vayakel in this section. The Gemara is later on is going to mention those two remuzim to the 39, that the 39 lashonos of malacha and the 39 being Ela Hadvarim, the gematria and the drush over there being 39, but the balaturim in Parshas Vayakhel in that exact passage where you find the that Ela Hadvarim. So the balaturim, he quotes the two opinions in the Gemara, and then he gives a bunch of really cool remuzim on his own. That, you know, if you take a look in the first passage of Vayakhel right there, when it talks about the Shabbos and it talks about Shabbos. So if you see before the last word is Hashabbos, and up until there are 39 words leading up until Hashabbos, and he says that he, like the word la'asos is spelled without a vav, and he says so la in over there is without a vav, so la'asos it's lamid and then asos backwards is tesha, so it's lamid plus tesha, and then he has is another one as well. This is really amazing. It says it says over there sheshes yamim sheshes. It says sheshes is gematria 1,000, and he shows that the gematria of 1,000. What else is gematria 1,000? Arboim chaser achas. The exact lashon of the Mishnah, which is over here. The verse refers to the 39 malachas as Arbaim Chasar Achas. So Arbaim Chasar Achas is the same exact gematria as the word Sheshes in that passage as well. So he has a bunch of remuzim to this Indian. Of course, the foundation of it is the Masorah that we have of the understanding of the Hekesh. But you knew to look in Parshas Vayakhel for the gold mine of a Muslim because the Gemara mentioned two. So the Baal Turim found like 3-4 more, which is just very, very cool. You can check it out when we on your own or when we get to Vayakhel. So let's go back to the Gemara. So we have this 39 times that we find those lashon of malacha. So let's take a look at that. Boy, Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef asked, "Vayavo habaisa lasos malachto mimenyanahu olo." I found a malacha in the Torah, and I want to know if this is included in the count or not. When Yosef, it says, he came to the house to do his work. This is a reference to Yosef. Yosef is in the house of Potiphar in Parshas Miketz, and the pasuk says he went to do his work. Is that part of this or not? And the reason it might not be, we'll take a look why it might not be included. Omar Le Abaye says to him, I got a simple fix for you. Here's a quick fix. V'lesi Sefer Torah V'limni. Let's bring out a Sefer Torah and let's start counting them out. I got time. Let's bring out a Sefer Torah and try to count. And if we get a grand total of 40, we know to exclude that one from our count. Again, this is assuming that there is no trouble at all with verify with like we with being confident we have 39, which they must have been. So we're like we have to explain pshat. So and then he just by brings a precedent for such a plan. Meet me lo amar Rabba Barbarchana. Did Rabba Barbarchana not once say amar Rabbi Yochanan? Amar Rabbi Yochanan lo zazu mishamat sheviu sefer Torah minaum that. There was once an instance where Rabbi Yochanan said, we're not moving from here until we bring a Sefer Torah, we count it up. So we don't know what that was for, but there was some counting, and Rashi doesn't even know what this is actually, which is very interesting. Rashi says, I don't know where this was stated. This instance where he says, like, let's get here and count it up, but they wanted a recount, and they wanted everyone to be sitting there and observing and make sure there's no fraud in counting up all the malachos in the Torah. So sit here and count what it is. So Amar Lei, he says to him, no, this one's not a quick fix. Ki kamisafgali, I was actually besafek mishum dichsiv v'hamalacha hayasadayim, because there's another pasuk. This I think is in Vayakhel. It's at the end of the Mishnah. Yeah, maybe Pekudei actually. It's in Vayakhel. Parshas Vayakhel Pekudei. It's in the double parsha. Where at the end of the construction of the Mishkan, where the pasuk says, and the malacha was enough. So miminyanahu, right? I was besafek if this was included in the minyan or not. So basically, both of these malachos, the malacha of Yosef and the malacha of the Mishkan, are going to be questionable whether they would be included in the count. And that's why he wasn't sure. Is it, if this one, so he, when he was asking, is the Yosef one in, he was also asking, is the Mishkan, is this one of the Daya Malacha, is that one also? And he wasn't sure which one is in, which one is not, and counting it up does not help, because at the end of the day, you're going to have 40. And I want to know which one is one of the 39. I wonder what the Nafka Mina is. It's interesting, but it maybe the Nafka Mina will be revealing what pshat in these psukim are. The Ha Kiman de Amar Lasos Tzarachav. This would be in accordance if you would say that the Hamalacha Isadayim is included in the 39. So it would be in accordance with the opinion that says in Maseches Sota Lasos Tzarachav Nichnas, that Yosef entered to take care of his needs, right? That there's a machlokas, I believe it's Rav and Shmuel, Maseches Sota, when it says that Yosef went in to do his work. So there's a machlokas, Rav and Shmuel, Chad Omar, that he went to do his work, Ma'amish, he had stuff to do, he had things to organize, things to file. And the other opinion is that he was about to give in to his temptation, to the seduction of Zuleicha, Eshes Potiphar, that she would constantly try to tempt him, and at that point he went in to do his work. It's a euphemism. So if you hold that Hamalacha Isadayim is included in 39, then the malach that he was doing isn't really malachto. That's a euphemism and doesn't actually mean malacha at all. O Dilma, or maybe Vayavo by some malachas malachto miminyanuhu. So no, maybe a much more flattering pasuk about Yosef. It's no, he was actually going to do his work ethic, hard work. He was doing malacha, and that's included in the minyan. V'hai v'hamalacha isadayim, and this pasuk at the end of the construction of the Mishkan, or the donations of the Mishkan, what is that referring to? Hachikamer, this is what it's saying. D'shalim le'avidita, that the job, the task was completed. It happens to be that I believe it, maybe it's the Ramban over there, interprets the word malacha to be mamon, to be money. And it means, because it's talking about the donations. Rashi says over here, malacha, lav malachi, it's not malacha, right? It's v'hai malacha ha'isadayim. Lav malachi, elakidamash makra b'havas nedava. Rather, it's the pasuk is talking about the job, the task of bringing in the donations. So it's not really work. When we're talking malacha, we're talking about creating, constructing, building, putting things together. We're talking about malacha. We didn't mean a task, a job. Over here, malacha is a figurative term. It doesn't literally mean malacha. It just means the job of bringing things together. So again, it's the word malacha is certainly there. The question is it literal? Is it a euphemism? And there are these two swing malachas that hang in the balance. I apologize for the references. Teku. Bottom line is, again, Teku, still unresolved, yet to be seen. Yitzhak Shem Valio, enough, he should come and answer all the questions and bring all the resolutions and all the salvations that we could use so desperately. Tanya. I know it's a good way to end this year, but we still have like a third of the Yom to go. So, Tanya, we learned the Raisa. Kaman da'amar k'neged avodas ha'mishkan. So yeah, we learned in a brisa in accordance with the opinion that says that the 39 are connected to the uvodos of the Mishkan. Detanya that we learned in the brisa ain chayven ella al malacha shekayotze ba ha'isav Mishkan. The brisa says we are not chayiv on any malacha except for the malachas that were done similarly in the Mishkan. For example, heim zaru, they planted, vatem lo tizro, and you shall also not plant. There's a machlokas over here in the Rishonim. Rashi says, Rashi in general, there's a lot of planting malachas, right? Zareya choresh, zareya kotzer, right? You're plowing and planting and harvesting and bundling, and there's so much in that process. So Rashi understands it to be the process of preparing the saman and the dyes that needed to be planted, the dyes for the various curtains. However, this opinion, it's according to the Gaonim, that it's actually the process of making the lechem upon him. So it's planting wheat and everything, making bread from that within that process. In fact, it's called Sidur Depas, the order of making bread, the first 11 malachos. So this is the malachos. We'll probably return to it in Klal Gadol when we get there. Just this nice, this whole half of the Amud is just nice, a taste of what we're going to see in 20-30 blot from now. more like 20. So Lo Tizro, they planted. You shall not plant. Haim Katsru, they harvested. Vatem Lo Tizru, you don't harvest. Haim Halu Esakrashim Karkala Agala, they brought beams from the ground into the Agala, the large wagons which constituted Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Meaning, so Vatem, you Lo Tachnis Mishrusa Rabbi Rosh Hashanah Yachid. You shall also not transfer from Mishrusa Rabbi Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Haim Haridu Esakrashim Agala Karka, they then took the crush them out of the wagon and put them in the ground somewhere else. The Atem, you also lo tzio mirchus yachid lirchus a rabbin. Hey motzio meagala agala, you took out from one. They took out from one agala and put into another agala. The Atem lo tzio mirchus yachid lirchus yachid. And you shall also not transfer from mirchus yachid to mirchus yachid. Now, if you remember the first parak, mirchus yachid lirchus yachid. Michael Ovid, what's the problem transferring from mirchus yachid to mirchus yachid? That's not asher media raisa. What's the problem with that? So, by Rava Damri Tavayu, by Rava both answer, the same Rava de Barava, some say it was Rava de Barava, said it, Rishus HaYachid, Rishus HaYachid, Derech Rishus HaRabim. Now, that's the problem. What do they do? They would take from the Agala, and sometimes the Agala would be extended through a Rishus HaRabim into the next Agala, and that was the problem. That's what is being referred to here. Okay. I think...